What's up, guys? What's going on? I'm Paul. This is Pauline Theology's Daily Devotional with Trust in Jesus Ministries. I'm here to help you trust in Jesus more, whether it's for the first time, for belief and salvation, finding hope in Him alone, or if it's every day placing a little bit more of your life, more of all that you're going through in His hands because He is in control. So trust in Jesus. That's what I got to say today. But I got a little bit more to say, man. I also have something to say about Genesis. That's why you're here. You want to know a little bit more about the passage of Genesis chapter 30, 14 through 21, or you're just continuing with me through the study of Genesis as we are been walking through this book. It's a good book. And so if you haven't read it yet, go ahead and check it out. Genesis chapter 30, verses 14 through 21. If you have, stop the tape, like I said, check it out, read it, come back, and we'll go through the four questions. If you have already read it, let's jump on in. Where are we at? Well, we kind of moved to a little different episode. We're still on the war to babies, but we kind of got a little different episode here. It says that her son, Leah's firstborn, Reuben, went out to the field during the time of the harvest, man, and found some mandrakes, brought the mandrakes to her mama or to his mama. And then Rachel's like, hey, let me get some of them mandrakes, Leah. Let me get some of them mandrakes. And then Leah's like, dude, you already stole my husband. Now you want to steal my mandrakes? You took my husband. Now you want to take my mandrakes from my son? So Rachel's like, I'll let you sleep with the husband, man. I'll let you cohabitate with Jacob if you give me the mandrakes. And she's like, I'll take that deal. Bet. And then she goes out, Leah, as soon as Jacob comes out from the field, she's like, man, I bought your services for tonight, man. So you about to serve me, Jacob. And Jacob did. He served her. And then she got pregnant. It said that the Lord heard her and she got pregnant and she bore a son. And the first son's name is derived from the fact that she paid the wages, not of the mandrakes, but of giving her her servant girl as a concubine and had children. And so she's gratitude for that in naming her son. It says she named him Issachar because Sakar is means wages. And so she named Issachar. But then she got pregnant again. And this time she said that the Lord has bestowed upon her a gift, a good gift. And this good gift is the child of having six children, six boys, six males. And so she says now her husband will honor her. And so she named him Zebulun. And then it says that she had another child, and it was a girl, and they named her Dinah. Now, what's up with these mandrakes, man? Like, well, that's a question. You know, I always say you got to hit the warrant sometimes. You're like, why would she give up her husband, saying that her husband is like hers, she can do what she want with him and stuff like that? Like, why would she give him up for some mandrakes? Well, the thing is that mandrakes are seen as an aphrodisiac slash a aid in fertility. So if you eat this fruit, it could open your womb. It could allow you to have children. And that's the thing that Rachel really wanted. Now, I think Reuben may have got it because she thought maybe he saw the sadness in his mother's eyes whenever he goes around her because she's not producing children. And that's why maybe she called Issachar about the wages of paying for her, the slave girl rather than her own birth. And now she's pregnant again. And so I think that may be why Reuben did it. But the reason Rachel's trying to do all that is because she's barren, man. She's seeking diligently anyway. She's probably praying and petitioning God. She's probably doing whatever she's trying to do to be able to get pregnant because she wants to be pregnant. And so Rachel asked for them mandrakes, man. She asked for them mandrakes. And I'm sure Leah ate some mandrakes as well that her son gave her, and she got pregnant. But the thing is, we must be reminded, because this is going to say, what's this passage say about God? What does this passage say about God? Well, we must be reminded that God is sovereign, and that the only way that wombs are open and the way that wombs are shut and the way that children are born is because of the sovereignty of our Lord, the power of God. And that's why it says the author wants to convey that message, that even though they're doing all these things, right, to be able to try and create a way that they can be fertile again to birth babies in this war to babies, the writer of Genesis wants to make clear that it is God alone who did it. It says, because it says that God heard Leah and she was impregnated again. And so I just want to make sure that you guys realize that God heard Leah. Because God is the God of hearing, man. We've seen this many times when God responds, he responds. He listens to the plight and the sufferings of his people. He sees it and he acts. What's this say about man? Is, boy, we are seekers of approval. The names of the children again. We remember the last time she had a child of her own that she just praised the Lord. She called him Yehuda or Judah. And this time, again, we see that she has fallen back to her old ways. And we all do. I mean, we all want to be loved. We all want to be cared for. We all want to be desired. That is nothing different then than it is now. And so it is great that we can read these scriptures and see that the sufferings of humankind is common. Because what does she name the child? She names the last child Zebulun, which comes from the root of honor. It means like, it says, now my husband will honor me because I bore to him 6 children. And so she's just like, maybe he'll honor me now. Maybe that I've done this. Maybe he will care for me. And the honor is like the love that she desires, that she sees that Rachel gets from Jacob. But we all are desirous of this in whatever capacity it may be. So for application, man, I want you to find your identity in Christ. You see, when we do this, then we can recognize that there's nothing that we can do or say, or there's no actions that we can convey to grow the love that God has for us, because he's displayed it on the cross already. I believe I talked about this in the last episode, that 2,000 years ago, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That the weight of our sin, the judgment that should have fallen upon us because of our evil that we commit every day, was put upon Jesus. And that he took and bore the sin of the world so that we might have freedom, righteousness, and a relationship with the God who created us. And because of that, man, that's a demonstration of the love that he has for us. And it's simply because we are his image bearers. It's simply because we are his creation. He desired for us to co-reign with him, to rule the world with him. That was God's desire. And so find our identity in that. When you think that someone else doesn't care, or someone else doesn't hold you to the honor that you think you deserve, well, remember that God has shown that honor and that love by his death on the cross. That is the most important application that we can have right now. So let us not seek approval. If you're sitting around, you're seeking approval in your spouse, or it's not bad that we desire to be approved, but not. Do not let that be the whole of your life, as it seems to have raptured or captured Leah. Her whole entire marriage has been nothing but a desperate fight for the approval of her husband. Don't let that be your life, because you know that your approval, that your hope, that your vindication, that your life, your identity is found in the one who loves you so much. Jesus. Hey, I thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.